Good morning. I would like to talk to you today about a social branding intervention to decrease smoking among LGBT young adults. But before I talk about our intervention, I would like to show you a little bit about how the tobacco industry targets this group. This is an ad that you can see here for Natural American Spirit, and it says, "Freedom to speak, to choose, to marry, to love, it's all good." So you can see that this ad is clearly taking a value that is important in the LGBT community, the freedom to marry, and equating it with essentially the freedom to smoke. So I would like to acknowledge my mentor on this project, Dr. Pam Ling, as well as my other collaborators. And I do not have any financial relationships to disclose, but I will mention that one of my co-authors, Jeff Jordan, actually runs Rescue Social Change Group, the group that put on the intervention that I evaluated. So I'm sure in this group I don't really need to tell you why it's important to target youth and young adults for smoking. I will just mention the critical point that almost all people who become adult daily smokers began smoking before they were 26. So this is really the prime time to reach this age group with either interventions for cessation or to prevent starting smoking. And it's perhaps even more critical for LGBT young adults because they do smoke at a much higher rate than the general population, and also LGBT individuals start smoking at a younger age. So this is a particularly important topic. So you might wonder, why does this disparity exist? Why do so many more LGBT individuals smoke? And there are a number of hypothesized reasons. And the first group of reasons are sort of individually located, such as depression and anxiety, high levels of stress, and also perhaps internalized homophobia is one hypothesized reason. However, other reasons are more external to the individual, such as social stigma, because LGBT individuals do face discrimination in many ways, you know, marriage, adoption, a multitude of ways that could increase stress and thus increase smoking. And then, as I mentioned, we have tobacco industry marketing. And I will give you a little bit of background on how the tobacco industry has marketed to this group. Although the gay press has existed since around the 1950s, at that time it was very politically motivated. So starting in the 1990s, when there became LGBT lifestyle and fashion magazines, Philip Morris felt that it was sort of safer at that time to begin marketing in these publications. So Philip Morris was the first tobacco company to directly target LGBT people, and they put an ad in Genre in 1992. And actually, they wanted to do this quite under the radar, but the editor of Genre actually contacted the Wall Street Journal because they were so excited to get this recognition from this major advertiser. And they have since done focus groups with some LGBT individuals. And unlike many other minority groups who feel angry about being targeted by the tobacco industry, some LGBT people felt that it was a validation. So it's a very complicated relationship with tobacco industry marketing. And another reason this disparity might exist is the historic role of bars in the community. This is a picture of Stonewall. I'm sure as you all know, many people consider the beginning of the modern LGBT civil rights movement. And for many, many years, bars were considered the safe, welcoming place for gay people to meet each other. But, of course, socializing in bars comes with an increased risk of smoking. And also, studies have shown that the more frequently you attend a gay bar, the more frequently people smoke. So although this is a reason for this disparity, this is also one of the reasons we chose to focus this intervention in the bar. So I'm going to talk to you today about Crush, which is a social branding intervention. And the way a social branding intervention works is you use marketing strategies to associate a particular behavior, such as not smoking, with a cool, aspirational image that people in a certain community might gravitate towards. And this intervention, as I mentioned, was actually put on by Rescue Social Change Group. So, why a brand? When the health department goes out to do smoking cessation classes, they don't typically create a brand. Well, the reason is that you want to create a brand such as Crush that was symbolized in this study. The Crush was living a fresh and smoke-free lifestyle. So anytime you see the image of a brand, I'll show you these brand images. I'm sure something immediately comes to mind about what you think about Coke or Pepsi. Or the Marlboro Man. If I were to ask you, what characteristics do you associate, you would immediately come to mind this rugged, outdoors, Western look. And so the hope is that if Crush was effectively marketed, that when anyone saw this logo on any of the materials, they would realize that this was promoting living this fresh and smoke-free lifestyle. So our research question was, did Crush campaign exposure and understanding of the smoke-free message reduce the risk of past 30-day smoking? And to address this, we used time location sampling in Las Vegas bars. This intervention was conducted in LGBT bars in Las Vegas. And they were determined based on doing focus groups and key informant interviews to see which of these bars were the most popular among this group. And then you create a list of them all, and you create a list of all the time, the peak times at each bar. And you randomly select a bar and a time. Data collectors go in and attempt to survey everyone in the bar. And it is a 77-item self-administered survey, and our response rate was 63%. And these were cross-sectional surveys. We had two waves of data collection, both that took place after the intervention started because of when the funding came in. And this analysis was conducted using a multivariate logistic regression. So, how was the brand created? The idea of a social branding intervention is the strategy is to change the culture from within. So it begins with doing focus groups and interviews with people in the specific community to talk to them about what they feel, how they feel their culture is typically represented in flyers, in bars, what is important, what is valued, and how could you create an intervention that would fit in with what is existing in this culture. And so I'm going to first show you some images that are not from Crush, that are from the general Las Vegas LGBT bar scene. And just to give you an idea, this picture actually has a modesty bar. So we found that in Las Vegas, it is very highly sexualized. You have the shirtless DJs, bartenders, go-go dancers, and this was associated with what was a fun night out at the bar. So from that formative research, the social branding intervention was developed, and there were branded events. And as part of the strategy of changing the culture from within around smoking, the way that Rescue works is they first hold Crush events in the bars, and the only thing they do is ask the bar to go smoke-free. They must be smoke-free on the night of the events. And then this is gradually escalated to bringing in smoking cessation materials and to the other elements of a social branding intervention, which I will describe in the upcoming slides, such as hard-hitting messaging, brand ambassadors, social rewards, and brand social media. So this is an example of one of the hard-hitting messages Crush used. It says, 30,000 of us dead each year. That's one way to shut us up. The American Cancer Society estimates that 30,000 LGBT people die each year from tobacco use. And this ends with, as the industry disproportionately kills off our community, They turn around and spend their revenues to fund neoconservative candidates who fight against equal rights. This is an example of their brand ambassadors. For this campaign, they were called Crush Cuties. These were individuals who had pledged to live a smoke-free lifestyle. They're featured on the website. You can go and read more about each of these individuals and why they want to live a smoke-free lifestyle, and they're meant to be aspirational, that someone might want to be like these individuals. There are also local influencers, such as the DJs, the bars, the bartenders, the people who are already popular or cool in this scene, who come forward about their reason why they want to either oppose the tobacco industry or want to live a smoke-free lifestyle. And this is an example. This is someone named Lisa Pittman, who is a DJ at some of the bars in Las Vegas. And as I mentioned, there are also social rewards. Some of these are available to anyone, like you can sign up and possibly win, you know, tickets to an event. And then some things are actually specifically for the Crush Cuties, the brand ambassadors, as, you know, a reason that you might want to become one. And there is also brand social media. Crush has a Facebook and a Twitter with wide reach. And I will show you a way that this is helpful both to promote the brand, but also to promote conversations among people who would like to stop smoking. So as you can see, someone wrote on Crush's Facebook wall, "What kind of stop smoking support is out there? I started the patch today and I'm climbing the walls." And you can see that 14 people have commented on their strategies, and also there's a moderator of this site that would comment with evidence-based information. So for our analysis, the covariates were general age, race, ethnicity, sex, education, sexual orientation, and the wave of data collection, if it was the first or second. And our sample was mostly male, it was 66% male. There was a 42% smoking prevalence, which is quite high, but is actually similar to several of our other bar studies, so it is a high-risk group. It is also mostly 79% LGBT, which could also contribute to that high smoking prevalence. And you can see we had 43% were Hispanic. Most of these people were between the ages of 21 and 25, and there was a mix between whether they were in college, high school graduates, or college graduates. And in this study, the LGBT individuals were 30% more likely to be smokers. So we categorized how much the person had been involved with Crush. And they could have had from 0 to 4 points. And you got a point for each of these things: whether they had seen or heard of Crush, been to an event, visited the website, or received a mailer. And as you can see, based on these scores, More than half of the people in the bars that were surveyed had had at least some exposure to Crush. So we were pleased with this result. And in addition, the individuals who had had the highest level of involvement with Crush, meaning they had done all four of the previously listed activities, did have a statistically significantly lower prevalence of past 30-day smoking. And in our regression, we also found that people at the highest level of exposure to Crush had a significantly lower odds of smoking in the past 30 days. We also wanted to look at how much the person understood the smoke-free message, because as I mentioned, these events do take place in bars. So we asked, how much do these phrases describe Crush? And there were three answers: socializing and meeting new people, partying fresh and smoke-free, and getting drunk, which we obviously hope that no one picks that. And anyone who said that partying fresh and smoke-free was either a moderate amount, a lot, or a great deal of the message, we categorized as having understood the message. And thankfully, we did find that the majority of people who had been exposed to the campaign did understand that this intervention was about partying fresh and smoke-free. And we also found a statistically significant lower odds of the past 30-day smoking if the individual had understood the message of CRUSH. So there is potential for these types of interventions, the social branding intervention, in multiple communities, and it translates to multiple health issues. So in the past, social branding interventions similar to this have also been used for safe sex behavior, where there was this idea of making this a sort of cool and fun thing to do by having the DJs, the bartenders, handing out condoms, giving the safe sex message. And in several communities, this was actually shown to reduce unhealthy sexual behaviors. And this intervention has been replicated by community partners, so it's easy to do. And of course, it would be great if we could evaluate CRUSH using a pre-post analysis next time, but we think that CRUSH has the potential as an intervention to promote smoke-free lifestyles for LGBT individuals. Thank you.